broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening, Shabbat Shalom, and ladies and gentlemen, everywhere you might be, morning to some, afternoon to others, all the rest of that. Nonetheless, we want to welcome you and la-di-da-di and every other body here to Scriptures and Scuttlebutt here on Holistic Truth, part of a Natsarim network. We broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome you this Friday, January 29th. Isn't it getting just down there? It's just going. The day's going. It's just doop, 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 doop. There the days go, right? Isn't it the 29th? No, it's the 26th. See, I did another time warp. That's what happens when you start scheduling a bunch of stuff all at once. So anyway, Kriya Jets, we didn't ascend. We didn't go forward or none of that stuff yet. All right, so it is remaining Friday, January 26, 2023. We might as well giggle about it. And we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace, and it remains an amazing time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing, diligently contending for the faith as Holy Spirit guides our battle. Knowing we are given our daily bread, only our daily bread, and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness. I love that line, you know, based upon our spiritual fitness. We've talked about what that looks like a little bit. We'll talk about that again this evening. Going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle is won. God wins. God wins. Thought I'd say that one more time for those in the back. God wins, but we must show up. Holy Spirit is moving in this great awakening, continuing to accelerate all things across the face of the earth. Things are accelerating. If there's a propensity for piety, you become more pious. If there's a propensity for the other side of the angle, well, whichever way you're leaning towards, it's going to start sticking out. We'll talk about some things sticking out a little bit later on in the broadcast. Changes upon us. Within every dimension and layer of change that we as a species, these are important words tonight, and we the people can conceive, and on levels and dimensions we cannot yet imagine. Remember, of course, not all who are gifted are in and of the light, and I want to remind you guys that Charlie can't surf. He can get caught. But he can't surf. The harlot is in the house and the thief is at the door. It's time to come away from the tents. For the most part, the tents have come away with, except the wicked remain in their dwelling. Make no mistake, folks, and do not be deceived. We're at war. We're not going to win it alone. We have to rely on each other. We have to lift each other up in prayer. We have to keep the spirit of understanding between us. We need to keep that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you, too. Question everything. Cultivate a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. And yes, we have a scripture for that. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and, conjunction, hello, searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And I want to tell you, I'm not going to tickle some ears tonight, but I do have some worthwhile information. In fact, you know what? This might be kind of ear tickling because I'm going to go over some things. You know, I've got the bullets there on the page. We'll go over those in a minute as well. But we're going to go, once again, we'll go through the program. It's really fast. There's a much bigger picture that's being painted. It's already been painted. It continues to be painted even now until the return of HaMashiach, which may be sooner than the ecclesia, love you guys, is prepared for. Research what you hear. Own your own experience. Now are the days to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua, our humble servant. And it's good to be back with you guys. With this network of believers, we got a loaded program tonight, and that's on more than one way of saying it and taking a look at it. The program's loaded up with goodies and stuff and educational material. I have a lot of different titles for the program tonight on the webpage. It's What Does Adonai Owe You? Exactly. But we're also going to take a look at the unpardonable sin. Unforgivable sin, what in the world could that be? And for those who haven't dove deep into the scriptures, it may surprise you what it is. And there's not very many people that would dare to, not very many. We're going to go also take care of all of the promises, the warnings. We're going to take care of the rules of engagement when you are revealing wickedness, when we are revealing wickedness, and we are going to be revealing wickedness. I've already told you, it's caught. It is so caught. But now we have to, you know, somehow, folks going to have to know what it is. And there are rules of engagement when we're addressing wickedness and when we're going to talk about wickedness and if we're going to point out what we might believe to be wickedness. We dare not raise a railing accusation because then the adversary has an opportunity to go with you before the throne. Isn't that something? Case against you. Adversary loves the law to fight with it. It sees it as a sword and it wields it quite clumsily, as we're seeing now on the world stage. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things. But one of the biggest things that I want to point out, and I've pointed out from the beginning, is when we're dealing with wheats and tares, we're growing up side by side. And when the two are mature, the wheat bows its head. It's so full of good living Torah. It just got watered up. It'll bow its head. So we've already painted that picture. We've already done that. But when I talk about dealing with wickedness, understand that, just as I said on Wednesday night's broadcast, it wants you to accuse it. So going forward, as it comes revealed, there are some rules of engagement that I'm going to suggest for my listeners. There's always a way to tell a story. That'll happen. It tells itself. But it's not necessary to name it, because it tells itself. It will tell itself. The story will tell itself. Why am I emphasizing this? We need not get wrapped up in the drama. We need to share information and just share the information. Make no claims, make no aims, name no names. It will reveal itself. So for those of you who are looking for a name and looking for this and looking for that, you're not going to get that from me. I will not set myself up to lose a battle that's already won. Oh, yeah, that's what's on the line, and it's epic. How epic is it? Well, I'm glad you guys asked. And for that answer, we're going to go ahead and turn to where? The scriptures, none other than. We're going to use the King James Version because, you know, that's real common. That's real good. For those of you who use other translations, that's fine. You know, I'm not, it's, this isn't a translation contest. This is an information, putting it out there. Now, the one thing that the adversary thinks is that God owes it something. Right? Adonai owes none of us anything. None of us. The Father owes us nothing. He gave it all on the cross. The rest is up to us to finish the race. Do you understand this? Our obedience and attention to detail is important at this leg. So we don't name it. We don't aim it. It'll aim itself. And it'll be out there. But let's go ahead and go into the scriptures and see what it is that we're going to do. What is it that God says? You know, before we get into what wickedness is and this and that, yada, yada, what are the promises? That's what we're going to talk about. The epicness of where we're at. It's epic. It's epic. How epic, Leanna Grace? Well, for those of you who are wondering about the efficacy, is that right? Efficacy? The efficacy of the well, anyway, let's continue. I already ditched that joke, right? So let's go ahead and go to Deuteronomy first. No. Let's go ahead and go to Exodus. I didn't put all the labels down because, guys, I'm giving my brain a little bit of a exercise, you know, a little bit of a rest. So we're doing what we need to do to get the information out. There's lots of reasons for that. So Exodus 34:7, for those of you who want to follow along, let's go to Exodus chapter 34 and verse 7. And Father, I am going ahead and taking a minute right now before we get into the middle of your word, and we're going to give the program to you. Father, we come to you now. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for us. And that you continue to do for us to enable us all, every one of your children, all of the saints, and all of those that are working on this project, empower us, enable us, encourage us, Father. And tonight and tonight's broadcast, because it is a critical broadcast, I pray that you be very close to my lips and very close to my tongue and very close to my words. And make sure that what comes out is what you want me to teach and what you want me to say. Let it not be in error this evening, Father. I thank you for always being with me and always giving me the words that are necessary, whether I hear them at first or not. I give this over to you. Help those who need to hear what needs to be heard. Give them the courage to move forward with it according to your rules of engagement, Father. We thank you for this time. I thank you for this hour. May I do glory to your name and to your credit. In the name of Yeshua, we lift it up to you. Amen. All right, so let's do this, people. I'm excited. Aren't you excited? I'm excited to go forward with this epic stuff. So let's go ahead and go to Exodus 34:7. You guys are probably already there, but I'm going to go ahead a little bit ahead of it. And we're going to go to Exodus 34:5 instead. We're going to start then. It says, and the Lord, and I'm going to use the concordant literal version, guys, because it's active. And it has the word of Yahweh in it so that we can understand it and track it better. This is a very confusing verse to some people. It does show a multiplicity of things. It does hint of a corporateness, dare I say. So let's take a look at it for those of you who haven't looked at it before. So Exodus 34:5, let's take a look. It says, then Yahweh, and I'm using the concordant literal version, pardon me, then Yahweh descended in a cloud and stationed himself with him there. So he stationed himself with him there. Who? Moses. Moses is up there with him. All right, so he's up there on the tablet. And he called the name of Yahweh. What happened? Well, Yahweh's descended in a cloud and stationed himself with Moses there. And then he called the name Yahweh. And then what happened, Nana Grace? Well, let me tell you. In Exodus 34:6, it says, "Now Yahweh passed before his face and called Yahweh, Yahweh El, who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and with much kindness and truth, preserving kindness to thousands, bearing with the depravity, transgression, and sin. Yet he is not immediately making innocent in order to make innocent, but visiting the depravity of the fathers on the sons and the sons' sons on the third and on the fourth generation." Now, I want to go to the King James Version. Now that we understand that Yahweh yelled to Yahweh, and next thing you know, passing before him is Yahweh, Yahweh El. This is interesting to note. Is it not interesting to note? That's not what we're here to discuss. I'm simply here to point that out. That's a dig there, please. What I do want to point out is the epicness of what we just read. The Godhead came down and talked to Moses. Oh, my goodness. And said with full authority of every voice that mattered, keeping mercy for thousands, right? This is what he says. The Lord God, mercy and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Now, on the other one, it says bearing with. What does it say in the scriptures? Yeah, bearing with. Bearing. Waiting. Watching until the third and fourth generation. Why? He's waiting for us to correct it. What, Leander Grace? We got three or four generations to correct whatever the hell went wrong at that one. That's what we've got. That's what it's saying. What's going to happen after that? Well, we see all the time, okay, no more seed there, no more seed there, no more seed there. Yeah. But Yahweh says he will allow, he will bear with it. He'll bear with it. In the third and fourth generation, waiting for someone to correct it. That's what he says. That's what he said. I like that verse. It's giving us an opportunity to, isn't that wonderful? And of course, there are those that step up and help correct it. Let's go ahead and go to our next verse. And these aren't verses, well, I guess they're not necessarily narrowed down for you all, but we're going to go ahead and walk through this. So Yahweh says in the word, right there in the scripture, it's, you know, I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to see if you guys can fix it. I'm going to see if somebody's going to call it out. That's what he's going to do. That's what Yahweh said, Yahweh Elohim. And it was proclaimed with the Godhead. Now, Yahweh passed before his face and called Yahweh, Yahweh El, who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and with much kindness and truth. Somebody called to someone with the same name. That's what the scripture says. So let's take a look at the next one. I was going to say, and next on the mic is my man Hank, but it was just a completely different song. Sorry, I got a little bit of music going through my head. I'm not sure where that came from, but it came right out. So there you have it. So let's go now to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 7:9. And I'm not getting really flashy. We're just kind of taking through it. It's going to be kind of relaxed. It's Sabbath. It's Shabbat. So we're going to take it easy. So Deuteronomy 7, we have more promises. First, over there in Exodus, we got a promise for an opportunity to keep it, to take care of it, to fix it. That's it. It didn't say I'm going to pound you guys for three or four generations. No, I'm going to bear with it. I'm going to bear with it. And see, in our text in King James, it says, forgiving. That's not what the word says. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, I'm going to bear with it. And in the New Testament, it says, in times of ignorance, God winked. And then someone wakes up. Deuteronomy 7:9, another promise. But, of course, let's go ahead and start up with Deuteronomy 7:6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto the fathers, unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Oh, there's a little jewel in there we're going to dig a bit, but in just a minute. And then it goes on in Deuteronomy 7:10, and repay them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I commanded thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord thy God, which shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which we swear unto the fathers. Now the whole big thing about all this, and there's more to go, na-da-da, but the big thing about this is the lineage. Say, what, Nana Grace? It's the lineage. I'm letting that sink in. I'm giving a little moment of silence to give it some reverence and some attention. Give it a sila, as it were. Thousand generations. What did we see in the heavenly scene? Let's go ahead and read the concordant literal version of 7:9. Then know that Yahweh, your Elohim, he's the one Elohim, the El, who was faithful, keeping the covenant and the kindness to those loving him and to those observing his instructions for a thousand generations. Does that mean that we have to keep his instructions for a thousand generations? No, it means once you get to the third or the fourth generations and you solve the problem, you got a lineage rescue. People, what are we looking at? A thousand generations have been held in bondage for a very long time spiritually. A thousand generations. Not anymore. This is the epicness of what is being accomplished in the things of the unseen. These are the arguments that are going on. This is what's at stake. This is why we have to follow rules of engagement. The next ones. Let's take a look at, there's more. Well, there is more, and I could find more, but basically it's summed up in this. God will forbear the depravity unto the third and the fourth generations. If you hate him, he will deal with you, your face. And we know the one that hates God. There's not a whole lot of folks actually hate God. But there are some. And the Father will deal with them. The Father will deal with them. That's what the scripture says. We have to get there. Wins. God wins. But there's rules of engagement. And if we go around and pointing our finger and flapping our lips and moaning and whisper, then we're acting exactly like the adversary, and he will bring a case. He has ground. Unless there's a proclamation of coverage. And I haven't heard that yet. Once I get it, I will let you know. But we have not yet been covered. Best words, Father. Stop it. We've not yet received permission to name and appoint. but we can share all the information that we want. That would be the way to say it. There are rules of engagement. Want to get caught in a trap. And there are plenty of them out there, whether we know it or not. So let me go ahead and go forward with this and take a look at some of the other scriptures that we've got that I didn't list, because they are important to get to before we go forward with the rest. Now, I started off, that's pretty good. You know, once you get the hang of the thousand generations, let's go ahead and take a look at the one in 1 Chronicles 16:15. 1 Chronicles 16:15, and this is what the scriptures teach us. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and he confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. It seems like there's like two people there too, but that's for another program. You might want to dig. And it goes on to say some other yummy, yummy things. But I wanted to point out again this thousand generations. And then again in Psalm 105:8, that would be Psalm 105, and I don't have it pulled up, so I'm going for it too. 105 and verse 8. Here we go. He hath remembered his covenant forever, which is comforting, right? The word which he commanded to a thousand generations. So this seems to be pretty important, this thousand generations thing. He contracted with Abraham and by his oath Isaac. Again, it's reiterated in the Psalms. These things must be important to look at, or it wouldn't be mentioned so many times, you know? All right, so there we have that. That's kind of a preparatory set. That's what we're looking at, and that's why we have rules of engagement. We're looking at the correction of a third and fourth generational error, more than one, plenty of them, but by the same token, when one is corrected, it falls into place. So it is a generational rescue. Do you understand this? Apply the scriptures that you know to this picture that may seem new and see if it lines up. That's what I'm giving you at the beginning of the program. Now, I also said, and I made that claim, right? What does Adonai owe you? What does Adonai owe us? The answer is, of course, nothing. He already gave his son. What more? We already have an opportunity. Is that opportunity to come before the throne for judgment open for everyone? That answer, my friends, is no. Not everyone gets to come before the throne for judgment. Some of those folks, the wicked, God's going to take care of. By no means will the wicked see the throne. You can do your research on that. By no means will the wicked come before the throne of God for judgment. That's in the scripture. Do we understand this? All right. So I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've got 30 minutes to cover the rest of the stuff on the program. I think that we're going to be able to do it, but I wanted to drive these things home first because they're very, very important. If I get nothing else broadcast this evening, it's important for us to know what the rules are, why there are rules, and those are the same scriptures that I shared on Wednesday. Right? Dare not make a railing accusation. Let's not do that. We can share all kinds of data, keeping in mind that not all data is evidence and not all evidence is proof. So since we know that that's true, that not all data is evidence and not all evidence is proof, we can share the data. But we can't claim evidence and proof yet. It's just data. Understand this. There's a way to do this. We need to do it together. And I thank you all who are helping for all the help you provide. It is not unnoticed. It is not unappreciated. And I thank you all very, very much for those who lift me up in prayer and send me that Reiki, Reiki stuff and do all of those yummy things that are helpful. And welcome. As long as you love the Lord, right? As long as you love the Lord. And we know what that means. You can't say Lord, Lord, and expect someone to buy into it. You know, there's also a belief in some of the churches or whatever, I'm not even going to say in some of the churches, that there's some folks, I reckon is the way I could say it, you know, that thinks that, well, I don't know what people think. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and go to break. And I'm going to let Amy Grant tell us some things, educate us a little bit on the priorities of the character of God, the priorities of God's heart, because she nails it. She nails it in this song. And we're going to use it and go to break with it. And when we come back on the other side, then we'll go ahead and go with the different things that we have in the John and Thessalonians and Ephesians and Matthew, and we'll take care of the definition and the understanding of unforgivable sin and what the unpardonable sin, the one sin that will definitely keep you from the throne of God. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Thank you, Amy Grant, for this wonderful song, Better Than a Hallelujah. We'll be back on the other side.
God loves a lullaby in a mother's tears in the dead of night, better than a hallelujah.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, no. Silence will not protect us. We got to talk about this stuff. Now, there's a certain way we can talk about it, right? But we do need to understand that Adonai owes us nothing. Adonai has already given us everything that we need. Anything else is extra. The Father has no need of sons. That's scriptural. Sons have every need of the Father. Remember in Mark, Jesus himself said, or is it Matthew? It's in Matthew. That we pride ourselves in being sons of Abraham, or we pride ourselves in being, know Jesus' name. We pride ourselves in a lot of things. But God, the Father, is able to raise up children of Abraham from the stones. We can't pride ourselves in that. We can't pride ourselves in anything when we're talking at this level. I mean, in casual conversation, you say, oh, I'm really proud of myself. I got that done. We're going to have national pride again. Yes, all of those things. But there's a temperance with it, right? There's a temperance with it. We know what we mean. Our national pride. We like us best. It's not that we hate them, but we like us best. That's national pride, right? I think. So there you go. There's that. So let's go ahead and go to John 13:9 and take a look at that. John 13:9. Let's see what the scriptures have to say. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be fun. We're just going to walk through them and walk through it. So John 13:9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now, this is a beautiful picture of the upper room, but I want to point this out. And Peter loved the Lord. Did he deny him? Yeah, a lot of pressure was on him. Did Jesus forgive him? Absolutely. How many times did Peter deny him? 3 times. How many opportunities did he get to proclaim his love for him? 3 times. How about that? So let's take a look at it. So this is the washing of the feet. This is Jesus taking off his robe, tying it around his waist, serving his disciples, but he's only going to wash their feet because they have a new path. The one whose body is washed is clean. They need only wash the feet. Why is that? Why do we keep our feet clean? When we're dealing with Torah, the feet refer to those things that keep us connected to the ground so that we don't lose our ma. Keep us connected so we don't lose our humility. Those are the feet that touch the ground. It's the earthly stuff. So we need to keep them washed, not lose sight of the fact that our humility needs attention. Yeah. And in so doing, he's actually humbling himself as a servant to his disciples, washing their feet, acting it out as any prophet would. Was he more than a prophet? Absolutely. But he also had the station of it. He also had the gift. He also had the duty and the job. Because nobody else was making sense of the prophecies. They didn't understand him anymore. They lost the teachings. Let me clear my throat. And so Jesus was actually acting these things out for them. Acting these things out for them. So humility is important. And you can't fake humility. I see people trying to. And sometimes it's because they don't even know what humility looks like. But that's not really an excuse in this case. But, there's things where we have to learn humility. If you're brought up in a prideful environment, the only way to survive in a prideful environment, right, you're born into a prideful environment, you have to be a little prideful or you're going to get the stuffings knocked out of you by the bully, right? So let's take a look at Matthew 12:31-32 again. We did this last on Wednesday. Let's go ahead and do it again. Wherefore I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. All manner, all kinds of stuff. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The wicked won't even, this level of wickedness won't even make it to the throne to plead a case. They didn't have a leg to stand on. Lost the ma. Lost it completely. This is the type of person that will get up in the face of the Holy Spirit and flip it off. In the Old Testament, what did God do to the ones who ignored the prophets? He killed them immediately. Remember, the prophet came up and said, hey, I need you to strike me on the face. And he didn't. Boom, dead. Had the next guy come up, I need you to strike me on the face. He struck him on the face. He lived. Why? The prophet needed a bruise to do the rest of what the prophet needed to do. So the person that was being asked to punch the prophet said, punch me. No, he knew it was a prophet. He knew. Holy Ghost was asking him to do what he was supposed to do, and he flipped him off, and God killed him. Didn't even make it to the throne. You don't forget that. You don't flip off the Holy Spirit and expect to plead a case. And you especially don't do it in front of the whole freaking world. But you did. You're caught. You're caught. Ooh, you big trouble. Just saying. Because I'm a little angry about it. So let's go ahead and take a look at some more of these scriptures that we've got here on Blog Talk Radio page laid out for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. Let's see what that has to say. 1 Thessalonians 4:8, most folks don't necessarily see this one, but it's one of my favorites. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us the Holy Spirit. We have another scripture I want to get to there on the Blog Talk Radio page, and that is Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30, let's take a look at that. Yeah, let's see that. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So evidently what happens is if there was any hope for the person that grieved the Holy Spirit, it's gone now. Yeah. I think that's what this verse is saying, but I'm going to have to, you know, we need another set of eyes. It takes one or two or more witnesses. Ooh, my dander's getting up just a little bit thinking about some of the stuff. So let's go ahead and do Luke 12:10 as a very final verse here, and then we're going to go ahead and talk about the loaves and the fishes. All right, so Luke 12:10. Let's take a look at that. These are important things to keep in mind. So whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. Again, this is the same thing we said in Matthew 12:31-32. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. They don't even have a chance. The wicked will not see the throne. That's a promise from the Father, and he keeps his promises. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to share those terms of engagement. I wanted to remind folks that we're dealing with data. We're not dealing with opinions, we're not dealing with explanations, we're not dealing with claims, we're not dealing with evidence, and we're not dealing with proof. We are dealing with data. We need to understand that, and we're going to need to handle it accordingly. What to do with it when it leaves my hands, that's between you and God. Pray about it. The story will tell itself. Don't get too excited about it. The story will tell itself. loud and clear. All right, so there you have that. Let's go ahead and bring it up a notch. Let's just get this energy there. We've been talking about some hardcore stuff. You know, not everybody thinks that they're going to get a free pass is going to get a free pass. You know, we've been trying to explain on the programs and on the broadcast that the judgment seat is forever for those who love the Lord. It's about learning. It's about healing. What's going to be coming out of the throne but healing water? Well, what's healing water going to do if we didn't need to be healed? Right, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Well, why do we need leaves on trees to heal the nations if we don't need still to be healed? So we need to understand that, you know, there may be a poof magical thingy at some point. I'm not going to guarantee it. I'm just laying it out there because we've been fed some degree of fantasy. We really have. And now it's time to be grown-ups about what the scriptures really say. And it won't be long. But we need to pay attention like grown-ups about what the scriptures really have to say. So I want to talk about the fishes and the loaves and the mystery of the fishes and the loaves. And it's not as difficult. It's not as in-depth. You know, it's like when you look at it, you're like, okay, what is that? Yeah, I get it. But what is that? I mean, there are verses in the scripture when we come to it, we're like, what does that mean? Why did they say that, right? Things like that. And Dr. Chuck Missler, although I never met the gentleman, the lover of the Lord and the servant of the Lord, I never met him. I do consider him to a degree to be a mentor in my studies as far as how to study the scripture. And so it's been very, very efficacious, you know, very beneficial for me to study some of the things that he's taught as well. So I wanted to hand that out to you guys as a resource. So let's talk about these loaves and fishes. Now, we've already drawn the parallel of the loaves that are in the temple and the 12 loaves and the 5 and 7 and the 12 and all of those numbers that come together in the 12. But there's another way to look at it too. You know, because he's saying, remember Jesus asked the question, he goes, when he had them gathered up, this is in John, you know, they gathered up all the bits. They had how many fragments were there? And they said they called them pieces. They called them fragments. It was remnant of what was put out, was it not? Oh, goodness. That's a key phrase, isn't it? It was how many remnants came back? 12 tribes. Oh, 12 baskets. 12 tribes of remnants all came back. After Jesus cast the bread on the water. Well, yeah, he gave it to the people. People are water. People are water. Sea, the sea that dries up, those are the wars. Water, people, sea, wars. Sort of kind of consistent through that. Not, there's, you know, times it may not, but that's a consistency. So Jesus, in essence, he took the 5 loaves, or 7 loaves, 5 fishes. You know the numbers. You got the loaves and the fishes going. Well, if he's handing fish out to the people, what is that? That's meat. That's food. That's nourishment. But what do fish symbolize? Christ. Remember, the ichthys fish is a confirmation of the vesica piscis. And I'll have the viscous, piscous, you know, the thingy with the thingy. So, and I'll have those graphics after air tonight to put on there, some backup graphics. I didn't get them loaded because I'm breathing a little bit and taking it kind of slow. Working, but taking it kind of slow. So there we have this perfect picture of Yeshua taking what people have, casting it upon the water, casting it upon the people, giving the bread, giving the food to the people, feeding the people. And once he's cast it all out there and it's been dispersed through all of the people, are we getting the metaphor, through all of the land he gets to sing, what comes back to him? Full measure of 12 baskets of fragments. I think that's a pretty good job. I think that's a really good thing to take a look at. Casting your bread upon the water are the people. And when it comes back with 12 baskets of remnants, 12 tribes of Israel. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. Now let's take a look at the 135, or the 153 fish, rather. I think it was what it was. Let's take a look at that, because we have enough time. I didn't know that we were going to get to it, or I would have put some more graphics up. We didn't. And so here we are, and there we go. So with the ichthys fish, when we're talking about the 153, when Jesus has already been crucified and raised from the dead, and he is having, he's got this little fire going on the shore. Bulls are, they don't know it's him yet, and the disciples are out there on the boat doing their boating fishing thingy, and they throw their net out, and Jesus is there, Master is there, and he's got the fire coals going, which means the fire is cold. It's cold, so that means he's been there for a while. He's been waiting for him. And so they're out there, and they're fishing, and they cast it, and he's like, put your net on the other side of the boat. Well, we've been here before, right? But what didn't happen before was we weren't given the number of the fish that they claimed. And it didn't say. But in this particular scripture, in John, this particular scripture, it says they brought in 153 great fish. Now, were there more fish? Probably. 153 great fish is going to, that's a lot. There were probably little fishes in there too, but the point is, why did the Holy Spirit move the writer to put the number 153 as far as the number of great fishes? Well, that's the number that it was. Well, why is it important? Why is it important? Well, it comes to a mathematical formula, actually, that confirms the Vesica Pisces, the fish, which is a representation of the ichthys fish. It's the measure of a fish. Now, the formula, for those of you who are mathematicians, for those of you who want to check it out, I'll give you the formula. The formula is the width over the height equals the square root of 3 congruent to 265 over 153. That is the measure of a fish. Now, Jesus sent us to be fishers of men. That's the measure of the fish. That's the ichthys fish. That's the Vesica Pisces. And this little formula is the confirmation, and I'll have it put up on the Blog Talk Radio page, scroll bar there, post-production. So there's a lot of information that's very useful to know. It all points to Jesus. They're not magical spells. They're signposts to let us know where Jesus was. Let us know where to look. So we see the ichthys fish, and it's Pythagoreans and Euclids and Archimedes, all of these things together. This is the great teaching. This is the same Greek things that were being taught. Remember when Jesus was in the temple and the Greeks came, and he knew all of a sudden, because the Greeks were looking for him, he knew that his time was really close. It's almost like the Father said, now when the Greeks ask for you, when the nations ask for you, you know what's next, right? Almost as if, can I swear to that's what happened? No, it's almost as if. And so when the Greeks got an appointment to come and see Jesus, they didn't even see him, right? I mean, if you can imagine it, it didn't say he went over and talked to him. But as soon as they brought the nations to him, he's like, oh, here we go. Here we go. And he knew it. He's like, I don't know what to say now. Father, glorify your son. And he did. All kinds of voices came out of the sky. Thunder, some heard thunder, some heard voices. But he did. So the Pythagorean Euclid Archimedes thing was confirmed by Jesus, knowing that the approaching time was coming and that a mathematical formula would satisfy them. So he gave them 153 fish. There's more to it. there's always more, right? There's always more to look at, always more, because this is a multidimensional communication that we have called the Bible. And we look at several other dimensions at once. So there's a couple of mysteries. Go ahead and go over them, boggle them in the mind, you know, go ahead and see if they mesh and make sense, and then go ahead and pass them on as well. So remember, also, and I know you guys are waiting for me to get to it, so I'm going to go ahead and get to it. Groomers. Whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and it would drown in the depth of the sea. Now, I want to handle this topic in 90 seconds or less. Groomers share their wickedness, process of grooming and hopefully to creating something as wicked as them. And then once that happens, they don't want it anymore because it looks like them and they can't stand to look at themselves. There's a theme here. Now, if a groomer has groomed several children, people, and that child goes on to play out things, is that child guilty? Does the child know right from wrong? Does the child have a choice? Does it, you know, we have to ask these things. We need to understand groomers don't only physically rape our children, they mentally rape our children. There's a recovery for it. It takes time. There is recovery for survivors. I will not make the same claim for the predators. I haven't met a predator yet that won't flip off God. Not yet. And I've met more than one. That's my job. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast, podcast, pod people. We love you too. For those listening remotely, don't know who you are. We know that you are and that you're here with me and with us and lifting us up in prayer, encouraging us in the spirit. For that, I am completely grateful, and I ask for your continued support as we go forward in the weekend and share the data. We're going to share the data, and that's all it is. It's data. Now, if we flood the zone with data, who knows what story will tell itself? I am your host, Leanna Grace. It's been my honor and my pleasure to bring you tonight's broadcast. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. I plan on being back on air on Monday with Empathic Channel. And we're going to talk again about, you know, well, right there, the little sticky thing there from Marianne Williamson's right there, you know, hatred and all that's been yelling for so long, for so loud. Love's got to stop whispering. So we do. We should stop. That she's right. I also want to let you guys know that on Wednesday I went overtime. I've got commercials added to the end of my broadcast, and it is still 2 minutes short. There's data missing from the broadcast. Take that into consideration as you listen to this going forward. Until we broadcast next time, I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts, connect the dots, find the path, live in love, and do something good, because we will learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.